Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. It is NFL Draft Day finally here. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Mark Howard, who will be co-hosting Draft Night in Nashville tonight at Third and Home alongside with Jared Stillman, Teron Davenport, Chris Sanders as well, and Mark joins us now by phone. Mark, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Good morning, guys. It's like it's like Christmas Eve for a lot of us NFL fans. We just want to see what's in the package.
We sure do. We've been looking forward to this day for a long time. Mark, as you sit here and look at the Titans tonight at 22, I mean, there's a lot of different ways they could go. You could trade down. You could trade up if you wanted to. There's a lot of different things that could happen. As you look at the needs the Titans have, how would you handle this draft tonight in the first round if you're John Robinson? What are you doing at number 22, whether it's a specific player or a specific position that comes to mind?
Well, I think when you're at 22, you got to go with the flow. And trading down would not be the worst thing in the world. There are a few players that I would like to see them with. I think the way that the draft has gone, in the past, we've learned that it can certainly be a mystery when you get into the 20s. I think, they could really help themselves at wide receiver. I think a lot of us really like Elijah Moore. He just seems like a guy, who's NFL ready. He's got great, a great work ethic. He's a guy that, I thought it was interesting. He was described as, a big play receiver who had possession receiver numbers, when he was at Ole Miss. And he caught 74% of his receptions out of the slot, which is also, a neat area for the Titans. So I think he checks a lot of boxes. And then there's, of course, addressing the pass rush, because their needs are real. They're very needy at tight end. They're needy, of course, at corner, at wide receiver especially, and edge rusher. But the top players, the top pass rushers, as you guys, I'm sure, have already talked about, all have some question marks. And then if you go corner, the Titans, I think, could grab a starting corner in the first round, but Caleb Farley hasn't played in 500 days. He's had two procedures on his back. Newsom out of Northwestern missed a lot of time when he was there. So you got a lot of question marks with these guys.
What would you think would outrage Titans fans today, Mark?
Oh, gosh. I guess if they took another offensive lineman, and you could see, if Darrisaw is still there at 22, you got to think pretty hard about that. And, he's been described as a guy who's better than Jack Conklin, who they hope, they can plug in there and he can play. You remember last year and the disaster that was Isaiah Wilson, and just wonder how that could happen to them. But, go figure. But yeah, I think offensive tackle would outrage Titans fans, because you don't often get a mulligan when it comes to the draft.
Mark Howard on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Mark, you mentioned Elijah Moore. That's a very popular name right now connected to the Titans, but wide receiver also pretty deep in this draft as well. When you look at this secondary right now with Christian Fulton coming in his second year, obviously Malcolm Butler and Dory Jackson no longer there. If cornerback is there, we feel like both positions at corner at wide receiver are deep. Would you be more willing, if all things are equal, to go corner first and then wait later on receiver? How would you handle that if you're John Robinson?
I agree. The pool of receivers is deeper than the pool of corners. You can find a receiver in the second or third round where they have two picks already. But if J.C. Horn is sitting there, and if Farley's sitting there, and you wonder how they've evaluated Asante Samuel and Tyson Campbell. You know, two guys who are, you know, kind of up and down at their schools at Florida State and Georgia, respectively, because, you know, once you get into the second and third rounds, you don't have those guys that you think you can immediately plug in and play.
So, non-Titans, Mark, what's the biggest thing that you can't wait to find out tonight?
Who the 49ers are going to take? You know, if it's just going to be straight up Matt Jones, or if they're gonna swerve a little bit and draft another quarterback, and I don't know which one they like better. If Fields ends up being the third quarterback taken, I think the jockeying for quarterbacks is fascinating. Yeah, you know, who did the Falcons take? Do you take Pitts? I would. I don't know why there is always this immediacy bias where you feel like you absolutely positively have to take a quarterback. If you look at Atlanta's situation, Matt Ryan has a huge cap number for the next 2 years. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's going to thrive under Arthur Smith. I think the Falcons get healthier. It'll be interesting to see, you know, if they decide, you know, to make any draft day trades. But, you know, I could see Pitts going to them. And, you know, a lot of people feel like, you know, Pitts is the best player in the draft.
Mark, we've had some fans ask us about the backup quarterback position with Logan Woodside and whether or not the Titans should be comfortable going into the season with that route again. When you factor in all the different needs that this team has and that they're going to have to address in this draft, how big of a priority would a quarterback at some point along the line be, maybe to try to address that backup position if you're the Titans?
I think we've all learned that when you go later in the draft, and the Titans have the last, you know, couple of years with a quarterback in the late rounds, you're buying a lottery ticket. And it just doesn't seem like it ever works out. You know, that guy will turn out to be cut or what. I mean, if they took a quarterback in the fourth round, or the third round, that would really, perk my interest. But, yeah, you know, they need to upgrade a backup quarterback. I don't think there's any question about it. But they are so needy in their need areas. I don't know if they can afford to jump out and go against the grain and take a guy who's really probably, we hope, doesn't play this year.
No, I agree. I mean, I'm totally with you. Like, if it's middle round and someone they really like, then, hey, you know, do it. The late round flyers very rarely work out. You know, maybe like a Trask or something. But even if they did that, you know, is that guy going to be actually ready to come in this year and be any sort of improvement on like what you have with Woodside? You know, I mean, I don't know. But, you know, another position, Mark, tight end is interesting with me for the Titans, because to me, they need a starter. I mean, I think Firkser is going to be heavily involved this year, but they need an all-around tight end. Anyone of that group you really like, and where do you think they should target that?
Well, I didn't see Hunter Long play that much. He, in the minds of a lot of people, is the second-rated tight end. And, I mean, there's got to be a huge difference between Pitts and Long. I saw Freiermuth play a lot at Penn State. I liked him. Yeah, I agree with you. They absolutely have to get a tight end. You know, what they have right now is not much. And that's what I mean. You know, their needs are screaming. I mean, this isn't just subtle. And John, you know, can't afford to try to finesse, you know, what he does at pass rusher. I mean, he's got to draft, in my mind, he's got to draft at least two pass rushers. And probably in the first, you know, four or five rounds. But, you know, he needs a tight end, he needs a corner, he needs a wide receiver. So it'll be interesting to see how they prioritize and if they're able to trade down. I've seen a couple of mocks where they've been able to trade down to the back end of the first round. And I think that, you know, and they probably would get an additional third. So that's, you know, that looks good to me. Because the pass rushers, And Joe, you know, you've written about this a lot, and a guy who really intrigues me is Quiddy Pay. But can they really afford to gamble on a guy like that? I mean, everybody is so excited about this guy who really didn't put up great numbers at Michigan, but you can do so many things with him. You know, and in the NFL today, a guy who can play inside, who can play outside, a guy you can move around, can be pretty valuable. And they can develop him into, you know, maybe something even bigger than he was at Michigan.
It's certainly going to be interesting. As you said, there's a lot of different routes you can go if you're the Titans. Certainly a lot of needs that they have as well. Mark Howard has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. You can check him out tonight on Draft Night in Nashville beginning at 6 p.m. here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. He'll be alongside Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Teron Davenport as well. Mark, great stuff, man. Looking forward to your coverage tonight, and going to be very interesting to see what the Titans do tonight. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mark. Mark Howard joining us here on the program. You can check him out on our draft coverage tonight on ESPN 102.5 The Game. When we'll come back, we'll react a little bit to what Mark had to say there. Also ask the question, how worried should the Titans be about maybe Indianapolis stealing a pick of theirs at number 21? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game is kicking off every weekend with free beer.
Free beer!
And who doesn't love free beer? Make sure you're tuning in all day on Friday for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. Another phenomenal trivia question coming your way tomorrow from Ryan Porth here for Free Beer Friday. So make sure you're tuned in for that. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ryan Porth here with you on this NFL Draft Day here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks to Mark Howard for joining us in the last segment. Going to be interesting. As Mark pointed out, there's so many different ways you can go if you're the Titans here. It's going to be fascinating to see. And I agree with both of you. Like, you're going to need a tight end at some point that you feel good about coming in and starting and giving you some snaps. Mason on YouTube says, Johnny was great for us, but in eight games last year, he had two or fewer catches and never had more than 448 yards in a season. It's not impossible to replace him.
Yeah.
It's not impossible. It's going to be difficult this year.
Yeah, I understand. You can point to the stats on Johnny Smith. It's kind of like Rick earlier talking about how the Preds dominated the Florida game that they won 4-1. They didn't dominate that game.
No.
Jonnu Smith didn't have great numbers, but he's pretty good. He's a pretty talented player, and we've talked ad nauseum about how the offense changed last year when Taylor Lewan went down. They got to have, regardless, you know, they've got to have a guy who is an inline tight end and a receiving threat they can develop and have as a mainstay in the offense and a starter over a long period of time. It's just a question of, where do you prioritize that relative to all your other needs, like Mark laid out? I mean, something's going to lose out here unless you get another pick, you know? And maybe it does make sense. I don't know that, you know, Hunter Long's another guy who I've seen in a variety of places. I think Freiermuth is kind of the favorite to be the next guy after Pitts, but it's like Pitts and then
yeah.
And then the second guy. Freiermuth, Tommy Tremble. Tommy Tremble from Notre Dame, very intriguing.
Yeah.
More of the established blocker, did not have a lot of work in their offense. Also didn't have good numbers, so you could look at him just statistically like you just did with John and say, oh, he's not much a receiver, but he's got the ability to do it. So these are guys I think you can get third roundish. Brevin Jordan from Miami may be the best receiving option after Pitts. And then, you know, maybe you go much later. I don't know. I think they're going to certainly address it somewhere. But something, unless they add picks, is going to have to be more in the fourth, fifth area. And you get into that area and you have a much smaller hit rate.
So how concerned, if you're John Robinson and the Titans, should you be about the pick right before you at number 21 with Indianapolis? Obviously, I mean, Chris Ballard and company, they've got a lot of options they can have there. You lose to Nico Autry to the Titans. So I think conventional wisdom would tell me that they could be going somewhere on the defensive front with their first pick if they decide to hang on at number 21, whether that's on the edge, whether that's on the defensive line. How concerned, if you're John Robinson, would you be about maybe the Colts stealing one of your picks? And if you've got your eye on a pass rusher or maybe a Christian Barmore type player as well, how concerned would you be about the Colts picking right before you at 21?
Well, I mean, I don't know that you sit here and spend time worrying about it today, but certainly it could work out. It could work out that way for the Titans to hurt the Titans, I guess, in that way. But you know, that's not why you do things if you're the Colts. But it may certainly work out that way, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. To your point, like, Ballard has shown not afraid to trade down. I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up happening again. Which, by the way, I mean, Charles Robinson said it on our show the other day about the New Orleans Saints. You got quote tweeted by the Rap Sheet yesterday, Ian Rappaport, saying he's hearing some similar things about the Saints. Saints look like they could be a prime candidate to move up in this draft in the first round.
Yeah, it was already just the tweet about Charles and the Saints was one thing, but then when Rappaport quote tweets it, all of Saints Nation's in my mentions crying and screaming. Some are excited about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Saints, that's been their thing, and the Colts thing has been trading back, and I think it's good to be known for trading back. It's worked out pretty well for Chris Ballard to trade back and to have more draft capital.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, what do you guys think about Kyle Trask as a possibility to be groomed for the future behind Tannehill?
I think that it's possible. I think Kyle Trask is a guy who is probably going in the middle rounds, a guy who was awfully good this year, was a Heisman candidate this year. A lot of people attributed that to, you know, what Dan Mullen did for him, and mm-hmm. obviously it helps to throw to guys like Pitts and Kadarius Toney. But, look, you're talking about a guy who didn't start in high school? And obviously has grown a lot.
Sure.
So maybe that's a guy who could keep growing in the NFL. I mean, you'd have to have some real strong convictions about it to not fill some of these other needs and to go there. You'd have to really, really love him. But maybe they do, or maybe someone else does. I think if they're going to go quarterback, I'd rather see them go in that range than throw away a late pick. Use that late pick on a kicker.
Yeah, can't do that on the Pro Football Focus mock draft simulator. Maybe
yeah,
you can in real life,
too
though.
Bad. Hey, I need to read. I just want to read this from the text line because it's Alex from Montreal. So,
yeah.
Is there a Montreal, Tennessee?
I don't think so.
He says.
There is. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, basically, he just says fix the D. There's a lot of that out there. Fix the defense.
Wide receivers can wait.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew from Dover texts in. What do y'all think about the fact that Titans are one of three teams in talks with Atlanta for Julio Jones? A.J. Brown is hoping it happens on his Twitter. That coming from Andrew in Dover.
I think that A.J. Brown does not A.J. Brown's a heck of a player and a leader and a guy in Nashville who I think is going to get a second deal and going to be a star here for a long time, and he does not deal with the Titans' finances.
Yes.
Because they don't work. They don't work at all for Julio Jones.
I think it'd be different if Jones was cut and he was out there as a free agent and you could finagle something for your cap situation, but that contract is an albatross.
It's massive. And, you know, if there's a trade, I'll be interested to see if there's any sort of deferring of the salary, you know, but even if that's the case, the Titans are, again, look at all they've cut. And Julio Jones is on, you know, he's on the wrong side. He's on the wrong side of his career. He's still really good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the next couple of years with Julio Jones, if you had him healthy.
With him and A.J. Brown?
My goodness. But it absolutely does not work. So I can't go there. Jeremy K. Gover tweeted and texted us about his point that, that, you know, it used to be all about pass rush, and now it's like wide receiver, you know, winning the bowl. However, what's so funny?
You're right over there.
Yeah, I don't know what's
okay,
going on.
I'm just checking.
Yeah. Is my muting working?
I mean, kind of, but my mic's still on when you do it, so you can.
Right, so you can still hear
my
it
fault.
Through your mic. Yeah. Yeah, why don't you mute when I'm
sorry.
Mute? Why can't we do some synchronized muting?
I'm sorry.
But anyway, Gover, makes the point that, you know, now it's like wide receiver winning the poll. But obviously, Bud Dupree changes that. I mean, before Bud Dupree, it was there was no question what they were going to do, right? Well, we figured they were going to sign somebody on the edge. Look, if they really like one of those guys and they can get an Ojulari, a Tryon, a Phillips, I think that's great, you know, because I don't think you can address it too much, and you can't be much worse than they were last year.
There's no question about that. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Predators assistant coach Todd Richards, looking ahead to a massive game coming up for the Predators on Saturday against the Stars. We'll do that coming up next. Also, looks like there could be some breaking news in college football. Henry To'oto'o rumored to be a lock for the Ohio State Buckeyes, according to Mike Farrell, who works for Rivals.com. So that is very interesting. We'll get more into that later in the show as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Nashville Predators with a massive game coming up on Saturday against the Dallas Stars. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators assistant coach Todd Richards. Todd, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking time to join us.
Oh, good morning, guys. Good to be with you.
Good to have you with us, Todd. First off, we'll start with this week already. What were your takeaways from the two games against Florida? You get a massive win on Monday, 4-1. Saros was sensational in that game. Obviously, things did not go well Tuesday night in that matchup. What did you take away from that two-game set against the Panthers?
Well, you know, there's some good things to take away. Florida's a very good team, and, you know, you want to be playing big games at this stage of the season, and you know, we've been fortunate enough to put ourselves in that position. So it's great to play these big games. And obviously we have another one coming up on Saturday. Monday we played a more complete game, obviously earning the win. Goaltender was great. Special teams were very good. The second game, it looked like we didn't have the same energy. It seemed like we were a step behind them. Juice was great. I mean, that game easily, you know, in the first period, second period could have been, you know, they could have been up by 3, 4, 5 goals. He made some incredible saves to keep us in it, give us a chance. And you know, coming into the third period, we just lacked the energy and then making poor decisions. And I think a lot of that had to do with fatigue. It's been hard. It's been a grind. And, you know, the good thing about our schedule right now is we have a little bit of a break here, where we're able to maybe step away from the game a little bit and spend some time with family and those types of things and come back refreshed and get ready for a big game on Saturday.
So is that a game you just kind of flush then, Todd? As you mentioned, second day of a back-to-back, you cited energy. Obviously, Florida's really good and forces bad decisions sometimes, right, and gets teams outside themselves. But it did seem like John Hines was pretty upset in the immediate aftermath. Is there anything from that game where you say, okay, this has got to be addressed, or is it just that was a bad one, move on to the next?
At this stage, especially the way the team's been playing, you know, I think if you, as a coach, you look for trends and different things and what's going on with your team and, you know, Heinze's done a really good job kind of directing this team and getting, you know, our team to play a certain way. And I think the guys have done that. And you are right. You know, as coaches sometimes, or even as fans, you know, sometimes we get caught up in, oh, man, you know, they didn't play well. And that is true. We didn't. You're going to have your ups and your downs. But the one thing you also have to understand is you are playing against another team that's trying to do the same thing you are. And they're a very good team, and they got something on the line as well as far as making the playoffs and then playing for that top position, or at least battling for that top position, top three position. So they're trying to get home ice there, so it was a big game for them. But, you know, you're disappointed after the game, but again, as coaches, you have to deal with the reality of it, and then you try to figure out what the reality was. You know, why did we play like that? What happened? And again, you can't get caught up in the emotions. You can't get caught up in all that. And, you know, we're going to sit down this morning and have more discussion about that game and then start prepping and getting ready for Saturday.
Predators assistant coach Todd Richards on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Todd, you brought up the game Saturday. I mean, hey, you look at the standings, it is what it is. It's a massive game coming up on Saturday for you guys taking on the Dallas Stars, a team you're obviously very familiar with at this point. What are these next couple of days going to be like in your mind? Because it's not like you guys don't know what you're going to see in Dallas. They know what they're going to see in you. What's it like to prepare for what on the outside seems just to be a massive game coming up on Saturday when you've got a little bit of time now in between games, which you haven't had really basically all year?
Well, it's going to be nice to have a practice tomorrow.
Yeah.
We haven't really practiced. And part of that is just the routine I think we've gotten into based on the schedule and, you know, how this season has gone is you're really, as a coach, you have to balance, you know, what your team needs. And you know, there are times where you need the reps in practice. You need to work on some things systematically to get your game back up to where it needs to be. But it's also, you know, monitoring the energy of the players. And it's been hard. It's been hard on not just the physical toll it takes, but also the mental and emotional toll. You know, when you're playing these big games, and we've had to scratch and claw from a ways back, so we've been playing at a high level, emotional level, you know, for a long time. And, you know, after a while, it takes a toll. So you get some games like this, and I think there's, you know, as a coach, as I said, you're trying to find that balance of practice and rest. And because of that, we haven't practiced. We've used morning skates to really work on our game if there's something we've needed to work on. But it's going to be nice to have a practice tomorrow where you can get out and maybe do a little pushing and banging with each other, you know, work on some D-zone coverage stuff and those types of things that you don't typically do in the morning of a game.
Yeah, I imagine some work on special teams too, Todd. Obviously, that didn't go well for the penalty kill. It's been going really well. And it seems like the power play certainly benefited from Ellie Tolvanen's return, has looked better. But what's your assessment of those two units at this point?
Well, you are right. Those are things that we have to work on. And those become very, you know, critical, you know, when you are playing in big moments. You know, it does come down to those littler, smaller moments in a game. You know, as 5-on-5 can generally cancel out. And, you know, if you're undisciplined and taking penalties, and you're right, our penalty kill, we gave up 3 goals the other night, and up to that point I've been doing a lot better. But, you know, it's tough to win games. You aren't going to win too many games if you're giving up 3 power play goals. That's just too big of a hole to dig. And, you know, a long time ago when I was coaching in the minors, we did I kept track one year of all the teams that played and specialty teams and, the difference. So if we scored more power play goals than the other team, you know, what was a chance that we won the game? And it was like 70%. So it gives you a really good opportunity to win a hockey game if you are winning the battle of that, special teams.
Todd, obviously you've been around some really good goaltenders in your career, and they've got 2 good ones here in Nashville as well with Pekarina and UC Saros. But this run that Saros has been on where, you know, over the last 20, 21 games, he's operating around like a .945 save percentage. Just how would you describe what you've seen as of late from UC Saros, and how do you try to put into words what that's meant for your group and your team as you guys have been able to make this run here?
Well, you know, the goaltending position, I'm a football guy. I love football. You know, it's like a quarterback in football. You know, without having a good quarterback, you know, that's the position that really controls the game. You aren't going to win too many games. You really aren't. You can be good on the other side of the ball. You can have a good running back, but if there's no threat to throw or execute or do certain things, it's tough to win hockey games. Or football games, I'm sorry. And it's no different in hockey. That is the key position. And you know what both of those guys have done, the goaltending position, a lot of credit to Ben Vanderklok, who works with the goalies, is, you know, their play, the goaltenders' play, and because Juice has been playing here of late, has really given our team the confidence to win. And it takes that. You know, when your goaltender starts making these saves, you're like, okay, and he's bailing you out. Next thing you know, you score a couple goals, you get a power play goal, and you end up winning games. That's what starts the confidence. And as far as Juice and his play, he's been playing. You look at those numbers; that's elite numbers. Those are the best of the best that put up numbers like that, and how they're playing. So he's done that. He's given our team confidence. It starts with your key players. Playing at the level that they can play at, that really can give the rest of the team confidence in playing. And going out and winning. And it's funny when you get on wins and you start winning and, now Juice, their shots come in and even on difficult saves, he made, I don't know how many great saves he made last game, but, when a goalie gets into this rhythm and he starts playing like this, now as plays come in, as a coach, you're expecting him to make these great saves, which is a little bit unrealistic because you just can't do that. But he's done that over the past probably 2 months or so, whatever it's been. And playing at this high level.
Todd, I want to give you an opportunity to break some news on this show. Are you guys getting Forsberg back Saturday?
You know what? I don't know. And you know what? I would love to give you the news that he is, but I truly don't know. Obviously a great player. Be a great... whenever we get him back, will be a great boost for our team. Just the way he plays the game and the elements that he can bring with his talent that he has, and not just that, it's just his presence in the room. He's a well-liked teammate, and then just having him back around the guys would be a great, great lift for the team. But I truly don't know. He's getting close. If it's not Saturday, obviously the way that we're playing now, you play Saturday, then we kind of play every other day, I think, until the end of the year coming up. So. We're hoping it's Saturday, but I honestly don't know.
Todd Richards, Predators assistant coach, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Todd, great stuff. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and good luck in a huge game coming up for the Predators on Saturday against the Stars.
All right, good talking with you guys.
Good talking with you as well. Todd Richards, Predators assistant coach, joining us here on the program. When we come back, we'll react a little bit to what Todd had to say there. Also get into some college football rumors as well about some possible college football playoff expansion. That coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Going to have our mock draft coming up at 8 o'clock. Joe and I will pick the entire first round for the National Football League coming up to begin the 8 o'clock hour. So make sure you don't miss that. Won't even have to watch the draft tonight. It's going to go on exactly as how we predicted. Isn't that right, Joe?
It's going to be really – we might miss a couple. Close. We might miss a couple.
Just make sure you tune in for that coming up at 8 o'clock. Got some picks coming your way. I think I've got the odd number teams. You've got the even number teams in this draft. So looking forward to that coming up to begin the 8 o'clock hour. Thanks to Predators assistant coach Todd Richards for joining us in the last segment. What do you think of that there at the end? Forsberg, maybe in there on Saturday. Todd Richards doesn't know yet at this point, but it does sound like he's getting close. My guess, and this is purely a guess, I'm not reporting anything, this is my gut feeling. If he's close, my gut tells me he's probably in there on Saturday against Dallas. Just me. Maybe I'm wrong. That's my guess.
I would tend to agree with you, and I would tend to think that Philip Forsberg himself, even if he's not at 100, if he's at 80-something or whatever he is going to be pushing real hard to be in that lineup Saturday night.
Yep. I mean, it's a massive game. You need number 9 back in there, and if it happens, just think about what that could do for the power play with Eli Tolvanen, Philip Forsberg back on the same unit. I think that's pretty tempting if that happens.
Oh, yeah. And just, the power play and just having him out there as a threat, how long has it been?
Oh, it's been
A while.
Month at this point. Yeah, it's
been
a long
time. Five-week range here?
Yeah.
Five-week range?
It was mid to late March.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time since they've had double threat out there.
Are we sure that, that it's getting rid of Forsberg has not been the key for the Preds going this run?
fairly sure. Yeah. that's been a guy they'd like to have back in the lineup. So we'll see what happens on that front. Hal Gill coming up at 9:30 as well to look at the Predators taking on the Dallas Stars. Joe, there is some momentum and some conversation happening around the college football playoff of maybe expanding to 12 teams. Now, we've talked about going from 4 to 6 or maybe 4 to 8. I don't know that 4 to 12 has really ever crossed my mind all that seriously, but there does seem to be some momentum for 12 teams to expand to the college football playoff. Number one, what do you think of this? Do you think that could be too much if college football goes from four teams in the playoff to 12 teams in the playoff? And if it is 12 teams, does that make the sport better? Does that improve the quality of the sport, which right now is basically, hey, it's going to be like some variation of Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and throw in like a Notre Dame or an LSU?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's really interesting, this story, and credit to my coworkers, Andy Staples and yep. Stuart Mandel, got some good sourcing on this, on the discussions. You know, first of all, I'll tell you my opinion. It has changed. I have been a staunch four-team guy. I believed in it. I think it's good for the regular season. You know, I think expanding to – I think auto – I've never liked auto bids because you can have that 7-5 team that, you know, wins a weak division to then shock someone in a championship game and they're in a playoff.
Yep.
That said, I've got the same fatigue I think everybody else does. 28 bids have been given out, and 20 of them have gone to Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, or Oklahoma. And so there's a lot at play here. One is just geographically, like the Pac-12 ratings have really suffered. You know, they have not had a team since 16 in the thing.
Yep.
So geographically, the whole sport is not being involved. And let's face it, the playoff dominates the discussion. It's amazing to me that you go from BCS, which I thought was good. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but it was better than the old bowl system where this team has to play this team and then we vote on who wins the national championship. The BCS was an improvement. But, like, it's amazing how you go from 2 to 4 and it seems so different.
Yeah.
But when you expand it just that much, that's all anybody ever talks about. And there's – I just think auto champions would make sense, even though you're going to have some flawed years with that. But if you go big enough, then you'll still get like the team that gets shocked in its championship game, like in the SEC, still gets in. So they're talking, look, you could go up to 6 or 8, but then in 10 years, is this going to be going on again? Like, go big if you're going to go. So they're looking, they're talking about 6, 8, 10, 12, and 16. But 12, according to a source here in this piece, you know, is something that really has some interest. This way you would get a group of 5 team. You would get your champions or your power 5, so there's 6, but then you'd have 6 at-larges. I mean, you would not – no one who have any remote chance of winning a national championship would be left out. You'd have more bowl games with players who aren't opting out. And look, yes – you're still going to have a lot of years where Alabama or Clemson just trucks whoever they're playing, but they already are doing that with the 4.
Yeah.
So to me, that's not a deterrent. It's already happening. At least have like a good whatever the seeding would be, you know, 3-6 game that might be great, you know. And as far as the bowls on this, look, there are going to be people who are worried about the bowl system. The bowls are still going to exist. I mean, they've already been relegated to, you know, the lower tier, mid-tier bowls have already been relegated to what they are. I mean, it's a reward for these teams. It's one more chance to watch your team play. Like, you know, the whole bowl thing that was the big pushback against the playoff, I think we've moved past that.
I'm interested to see how this would work. I mean, I'm assuming if 12 teams is the route you'd end up going, I mean, the way I would handle it is, all right, your top 4 seeds, they get a bye. And then you just handle it from that point over 5 taking on 12 and just go that way. I'm interested in that. What I don't want to see happen is the regular season mean less to a certain degree. Like I think that's part of what makes college football so fun is the regular season. Every game is so important. Now, I'm also not convinced that going to 12 games automatically just removes all meaning from the regular season. Like I think there are ways to go about it. I don't know that I'd go to 16. I think 12 is probably as high as I'm willing to go, just because, to your point, any team that has a legitimate chance to win a national championship, if you're not in the top 12, I really don't have much time for you. Like, you don't need to be in a playoff discussion if you're not in the top 12. So I think this is a good balance. You can get some group of 5 teams in there. Maybe you'll have some times where a group of 5 teams can pull off the upset and get into that later round. I still think, when this is all said and done, it's probably, at least while Nick Saban's still there and while Dabo Sweeney's still there, it's still going to be a lot of Clemson, a lot of Alabama, a lot of Ohio State, and that's fine. I mean, you got to go and beat those teams if you want that to change. I would be concerned about if I'm a college football fan, does this take away from a regular season, which I think it's the most relevant and most important regular season in all of sports anywhere.
Yeah, so, and I think there's pluses and minuses with that. So the great example, and I got to give credit to my friend Michael Rosenberg, who wrote about this at the time. You know, Michigan Ohio State had Harbaugh's best team. I think it was his second team. They had a great game at Columbus, and Ohio State won. And it was basically a playoff play-in game,
yep,
right? Now, under an expanded playoff system, that game, which is obviously a big rivalry game anyway, but that game doesn't. I mean, those teams are both going to be in, right? But let's also take the Pac-12 game that could get you to the championship game that means you have a shot still at the playoff versus you're already ruled out as a conference and
right,
you guys can have your little championship game and it doesn't mean anything. None of you are getting in this thing anyway. Like, those games do mean more under this system. I also would hope with the expanded system, knowing you have an auto bid, I would hope that this would encourage teams to schedule better games. If you can go out and lose a couple tough non-league games and know you're still in the playoffs by winning your league, why wouldn't you want to do that? I mean, the regular season, you're right, it is the best and most relevant. It also has about four or five games that are absolute garbage that you're asking people to pay to watch. And then we can get in all the other stuff about, you know, funding Group of Five programs and what happens if they don't get these games. I mean, there's a lot of the economics that's tied to it, but I think fans, for what they're being asked to pay, if you have the possibility of more good games, I like that.
I like it too, and it is interesting. Like, I've always just assumed that this would be a gradual process and you'd go from like 4 to 6 or maybe 4 to 8. The fact that there, I think, is serious consideration going from 4 all the way to 12, that's interesting to me. I kind of like it.
Yeah, now we'll see if that happens.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the contract runs through 25-26.
Yep.
But there is, as Staples and Mandel reported here, 2023 would make sense. It's the beginning of the last three-year rotation, so it could happen as quickly as 2 years from this fall.
Going to be very interesting to see what happens on that front. I think expansion to some degree is probably inevitable at this point, where I know that Bill Hancock and the people in charge have totally dismissed that the last few years, but I think we're getting to a point now where that's going to happen at some point. The question is, how different is it going to look? How big are they going to expand as they continue to move forward here with those discussions? We'll keep you updated on that as more information becomes available. Pro Golf coming to Nashville this May with the Simmons Bank Open. Text the keyword golf now to 615-737-1025 for a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drinks, plus a Predators gift pack, including a polo shirt, golf balls, and umbrella. Text golf now to 615-737-1025 and enter for your chance to win. When we come back, it is time for our official mock draft. Joe Rexroad and myself going to select the entire first round in the NFL draft. We'll do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.